Hello, everyone. Welcome back to On the Air with Brett and Claire.
I'm Brett.
And I'm Claire. And happy birthday, Brett.
Yay, thank you.
It's actually not his birthday. His birthday is tomorrow. But today is Sydney's birthday. So everyone tell Sydney happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Sydney. Hope you're watching.
Yeah, I hope so. Also, full disclosure, we just did this whole intro and started on the lessons and the camera stopped recording. So we're going to try this again. And if the camera stops again, this is unfortunately just going to have to be another audio only episode. I thought we had fixed our camera issues, but clearly we haven't, so we're gonna have to continue working to fix that. But yeah, so this is gonna be your 26 lessons episode. I've done two of these. This will be your second, so
don't rush through it too much.
I feel like y'all already know all this. But yeah, so it's becoming kind of a tradition over here, and hopefully y'all enjoy these lessons episodes. But and if you haven't listened to the other lessons episodes we have, go back and listen to those. And also, we released our book club for the 4-hour work week on Monday. We apologize for the delay on that one, but it is up now, so go listen to that if you haven't yet.
And for our life update, we watched the, what was it called?
Inside Out 2.
Yeah, we watched the first Inside Out here at the apartment. That was the first time we've seen it. And we liked it, and the second one was in theater, so we went and saw that one as well, like two nights later, and we liked that one too, and we recommend going to check it out.
Yeah, they're great movies. I don't even like animated movies usually, but those are amazing, so I recommend them if y'all haven't seen
them. I think they do like a great job of representing how your emotions work, and I think typically animated movies in general represent ideas better than the real deal. Just because they have a lot to play with. But yeah, I definitely recommend going to check them out.
Agreed. Also, if the sound is kind of weird, we are not using our mic stands because they are trash and they don't really, like, they just fall over and, like, come off of the stand. So I flail around a lot. So the sound might go kind of, like, in and out a little bit. Hopefully not. I'm trying really hard to, like, be still, but
I think it'll be fine.
We'll see how this goes. And we didn't really do anything else this week.
Yeah, we really just rested a lot. Our sleep patterns messed up, so we're trying to get that back on track. But we will see. I think we're just a little thrown off by everyone that's visited. And we are ready to kind of return to our schedule of our regular schedule. And so far, we only have one more visitor left to that we'll be dealing with, and she may or may not do another episode. It's my sister Mia, and she's coming for her 21st birthday, so we might be busy having 21st birthday fun stuff because that's a special one. So
yeah, even more than visitors though, for me, like, that doesn't really affect me that much, but the heat does. Like, I'm sick of the heat. I'm over it. I'm ready for fall, and it's just killing me. So
yeah, I'm really feeling the heat. As far as, it just drains me of my emotions. I just don't want to even go outside, especially here. Even if it's not, like, I don't know, like in the 90s or even the 80s, if the humidity is up, it's more unbearable than if it was like a dry 90.
Yeah, it really is unbearable.
It's too much. You're just drenched in sweat all day and it takes all your energy out. So not super fun every day, but we're looking forward to the fall.
Yeah, definitely. Also, I guess another update, we are, like, maybe going to the Poconos or something for your birthday, probably next week.
Yeah, I think we're going to go there and see what that's all about. We haven't been to the mountains in a while, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it should be good. It's, like, a short drive, and it's really affordable to go there, especially in the middle of a week. So, we'll keep y'all updated on if that happens. Hopefully it does, yeah. But
other than that, though, we really just, yeah, we're just hanging out.
Yeah. Well, I will take a step back and just listen and
all right,
go
so
ahead with your lesson.
It's funny because, like, this is the second time we've said, like, all this stuff, so it's weird. But Anyways, I'm going to read down my list, my 26 lessons, and it's in no particular order, and I'm going to elaborate if I feel like I need to, and Claire is very welcome to elaborate and put in her two cents as well. So here we go again, for us, not for you. Number one, being dishonest with others is being dishonest with yourself. So, yeah, I mean, it's obvious that being dishonest with others is not a good thing, but you don't typically think you're being dishonest with yourself, but you're cheating yourself of possibly dealing with something that you don't want to, or you're just trying to avoid something typically, I think, if you're dishonest, and you're hurting yourself more than others, if you're being dishonest. And I think just for keeping things, simpler and not having to worry about where you're dishonest and having to keep up with lies, I just think be honest to yourself and to others and make it easy. You don't have to think about what you lied about in the past or anything. So that's a big one. Number two, never take your spouse for granted. We've been married for 5 years now, and it goes by very quick. And you can get too stuck in the routine of things, and you can start to take your spouse for granted and just assume that, you know, you've done the things you need to do and that you don't have to, you know, really keep trying, that you're done. And that's absolutely not true. You know, you're going to live your whole lives together, or at least that's the goal. And if that you want to do that, you got to keep chasing after your spouse and proving yourself not only to them, but to yourself, that you're in the relationship for the long haul and that you really do love and care for them. And that takes a lot of work. So I think that's a big one to keep in mind if you're married. Or even in a relationship. For some people date for a long time before they're married, or they date for their whole life and never marry. And both ways, you have to really never take the other person you're with for granted.
Even in friendships too.
Yeah, it works in all relationships. Things can go stale, and so yeah, in all relationships things can go stale, and you just have to keep working at it. And it's not going to be easy some days, but that's part of the fun, I think. You got to keep it different and fresh, and you'll learn new things about each other, even if you think you know it all. And it just, you keep growing together. And that's how you actually keep a relationship going, is you try to grow together and learn each other.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I apologize. The camera just stopped again. So this episode is going to be audio only, unfortunately. I know a lot of y'all like to watch on YouTube. So I'm sorry. We're going to get this sorted out.
Yeah, I think we need to do some research and figure out what exactly is going on, because this was not a problem before, and now all of a sudden it is.
So no, and it just worked the other day for our book club episode, like, totally fine, so I thought it was fixed, and now it's not, so that's annoying, and I'm sorry. We're really trying to, like, be consistent with, you know, the audio and video, but we're still new at this, and we're trying our best.
Yeah, we'll just keep putting out what we can each week, whether it's audio only or we do both, the video and audio. So, but hang in there with us and let's continue this episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was number two. And then number three is feeling too comfortable in life is a recipe for depression and aimlessness. A lot of people probably already know this or they figure it out, but I think for younger people especially, you may think the goal is to just find, like, that place in your life where you can be completely comfortable and not have to worry about things. And I rushed to that point, and I learned very quickly that when you're too comfortable, you literally have no drive to do anything, and I got pretty bored with life, honestly, and you can feel very depressed, and like you have nothing that you're working towards, except keeping this comfortable, boring place going, you know, as long as you can till you die. So yeah, watch out. I feel like that's a trap, just thinking that you can find a place where you're perfectly comfortable and insulated from any kind of risk, because it really doesn't exist. But if that's all you go for, I think you'll be let down. And then number four is you don't have to have everything figured out in your 20s. And I think this even extends past your 20s, but life's kind of crazy. And a lot of times you'll think you have it figured out and you're going the right way. And then you either learn something or you hit a wall, something changes in your life, and you realize that, you know, maybe you were chasing the wrong goals or the wrong, like place in life where you wanted to be. And things just change a lot, and we make mistakes. We don't always have, you know, the right idea from the start of how things need to go or what we need to go after. And I think it's more just don't take things so seriously too. If you try too hard, I just think you put too much pressure on yourself, and eventually that can, you know, hurt or destroy you before you even really start to enjoy life, because you're so, every little thing you do is not going to meet up to your perfect idea of life. You know, it's just not how it works. And then number 5, life is not a race. This one just like popped in my head. I didn't even think I was racing through life. And I don't think I was when I was like in high school. Like, I was really not caring as much. But once I started caring about life and thinking like, oh, I need to get to these certain markers of success, it felt like I was trying to get there faster than everyone else. And I had to prove something by beating everyone to certain stages of life. And it doesn't matter, honestly, as long as you know who you are and you know where you want to be. Sorry, our dog started barking and one of them fell behind the couch. And yeah, there was a whole thing. But okay, yeah, so basically, just know what, or learn to define your, what you think success really means in your life. And it doesn't have to be, you know, necessarily a certain amount of money or having a house, or, you know, it could be very simple. It could just be do what you want to do and not have to rely on others or something like that. Know who you are, what your morals are, and stick to them and do things because you want to do them. Don't race to things that you think other people want to see you having, and you know, they might be jealous or they might give you more respect because you have them, because really I don't think it works that way. And I think you'll be disappointed if you go about life that way. And then number 6, do not betray what you believe to appease others. This kind of goes along with the last one, but basically once you figure out who you are and what you believe in and what you want to do, don't, you know, say one thing or do one thing to appease the group or the people around you or someone else that you don't even know, just because you want to make them feel better about you or see you in a better light or whatever the situation is. Stick to what you believe in, and just who you are, and don't worry. Just live for your, you know, what you're doing, and don't try to conform to everyone else. Number 7, don't be afraid to lose worldly possessions. It can be hard for some and easy for others. But worldly possessions they don't really mean anything at the end of the day. They're just items, whether it's money or cars or houses or just trinkets, gadgets, whatever. Like, they're just things, and you can get more of them. Sometimes you'll have more, sometimes you'll have less. But I think really what I mean by this is you shouldn't derive your meaning and your who you are from the items that you have in your life or around you.
Yeah, because also if you do that, like, you're never going to feel like you have enough.
Yeah, it's an endless pit that you try to fill with these things, but deep down, they're not going to ever speak to who you are and what your heart really needs and wants. So, that was number 7. Now we're on to number 8. Don't attach yourself to the idea of security in money or things. Again, this kind of goes with the last one, but I don't know. I personally tried to build security in all things through having more money or through having more like assets or things that can insulate me from problems, or, you know, you can buy more fun things. And it's really just not the case, because money and things come and go, like we've talked about. And ultimately, this is a little off topic, but money is based on, I mean, it's subjective in a way now, because it's not based on anything except what the government that controls that money or currency says it's worth, or, you know, the way that they go about how they govern things. And it can, the next day, you say you have a, you know, couple million dollars in the bank, the next day it could all be worth nothing due to bad decisions from a government or whatever. And it's really just, it's an idea, and it's not a good place to put your security in, or, you know, look for your feeling of security, because it will let you down eventually. Number 9, you can't get where you want to be just with knowledge. Action trumps thinking. I've, like, personally, this has been, like, the story of my life. I always try to, or I think I can get ahead in life with just knowing more than the next person about a certain subject or thing. And I can talk about an issue or something I want to do really well, but I've always been surprised and passed in my, like, where I'm at with this thing by someone who just takes action and doesn't really think about the philosophy or, you know, the facts of something. They just go and do something. And I really do, I have seen that just acting and figuring things out on the, you know, as you go, rather than trying to figure out an entire thing before you even start doing anything for it, will always beat out the person who just sits back and tries to figure out the solution to an entire problem ahead of time. 'Cause you can't think and know the answer for every single thing that might come up when you go about something. So it's just not going to work, and you're just going to sit there and think and think and think, and you'll just be stuck there. There's nowhere to go from there, really. Number 10, there's no better time for change than now. We always come up with excuses for ourselves and why we shouldn't or can't do something to change our lives right in that moment. And I think there will always be an excuse to not make a big change or do something, you know, kind of drastic, because you're comfortable where you're at usually. Even if it's not a great place, you're more comfortable not doing anything and doing what you know to do than stepping out of that, taking a chance and doing stuff you don't know how to do. So, yeah, I think you, when you're thinking of making or doing something, making a change in your life or doing something, there's really no better time than just doing it when you feel the conviction to do it. You shouldn't necessarily just wait around, you know, and just wait for the perfect time, because there never will be a perfect time. Okay, so that was number 10, and now we're on to number 11. Also, sorry if my energy gets low whenever you're reading down a list like this, and I've already written all these and thought about them. It kind of gets where I'm just, like, reciting it. Also, when you talk a lot in one episode by yourself, it makes your throat extremely dry, and it's hard not to cough and choke. So please excuse any of my brief pauses to clear my throat or whatever I got to do. All right, so number 11, enjoy your life while you can. Retirement is a lie. I really believe this one. I've thought about it kind of a lot, especially while I was working, trying to save up for, you know, retirement at first. And even, like, in my 20s, like, starting that early, I just started seeing people who were retiring or who were getting close to that point in their life or their career. And most people who retire, at least men, I believe, they die within a couple years of retirement. And I think I've talked about this before on the podcast, but that's just sad, I think. Like, you work your entire life and you stress and you grind over and over for this money that you think is going to buy you your golden years or whatever. And you just don't even enjoy it. You're like bored, you don't know what to do, and then you die. That sounds terrible to me. And we, I don't know, we are in a position, or we got to a position in our life where we could enjoy it a little bit. And we learned that you really don't need that much money even to go on little trips or even big trips. And you can focus on just doing that, and you can have more fun and experiences you won't forget, you know, well before you get to retirement age. And we started to prioritize that more and more. And as time went on, I think we just kind of transferred to a mindset where it's like, let's just focus on this because it's more rewarding than like even a better or like a good financial investment. Like investing in our experiences and what we get to see and do is more important to us than having more money at the end of our life when you can't necessarily enjoy it like you can when you're young. So I think it's really important to think about that and weigh the pros and cons for yourself. And do you want to enjoy things more now, or do you want to wait and kind of roll the dice a little bit?
Yeah, I feel like that was one good point that they made in the 4-Hour Work Week book.
Yeah, I think that's what made me think of it that way. But we've also been sort of thinking that for the last couple of years, but that really solidified that enjoy things while you can, because it's not, life's not guaranteed. And you really just don't know, like, where things are going to go, you know? Things are not going to be the same tomorrow as they are today, so take advantage while you can now. On to the next one, number 12. You can only do something you hate for so long. I really was thinking about this one a lot when I was back at work. And I didn't necessarily hate work, but it was more, I hated the trajectory that I'd put myself on, where I felt stuck and like I had to do certain things over and over. And I really learned that, you know, you can lie to yourself and keep yourself going for only so long when you're doing something you're not really like meant to be doing or that's fulfilling to you. Just because that's not how we're built. Like, we need to be doing something that is fulfilling to us and provides meaning in our life. And you can only white knuckle through a situation for so long before you have to give up, and like you can't even muster up the, you know, strength for that day to really go in and do your best. You're just, your best is not good enough anymore. And I think once you realize that you really are not supposed to be somewhere, it's important that you make the change, not only for yourself, but for, like, if you're in a job, like, you're probably not doing your best for the others that you work with or the company itself. And you need to move on and make decisions for yourself that are better for you and your spouse and your children, if you've got them, or whatever. Now number 13. This one, I said, become comfortable with being uncomfortable. I feel like a lot of, like, I don't know, not gurus, but like people who on YouTube videos or podcasts who are into like health and wellness and self, like, improvement type stuff, they say this a lot, but it really is true. If you're always just uncomfortable with getting uncomfortable and making a change, you're never going to really do it. Or if you do it, it's going to be way harder. But if you start to train yourself to become comfortable in uncomfortable situations or moments, it's going to make it a lot easier to move forward with your life and make changes you need to change, or stick through, you know, building habits that are not easy to build, that take time and just consistency. And so you have to really become comfortable with not being comfortable, if that makes sense. Do you have anything about that to clarify?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head.
Maybe it's just simpler than I think. Sometimes I think about what I write down. If it's like a shorter one, I want to make it sound more complete, but sometimes it is as simple as the couple of words you put down.
Yeah, there's no reason to overcomplicate it.
All right, moving on. Number 14, don't listen to every emotion or thought you have. This kind of comes from that Four Agreements book. but also a little bit from my own experience with myself. You're sometimes going to wake up and you're not going to want to do anything, or you're going to feel kind of beat down by life, I guess you'd want to say. And sometimes your thoughts will even be fighting you too. So it'll be coming from both sides, and you don't know what, you don't want to do anything. You don't feel like you can do anything, but I don't know, I've kind of learned you just have to shut it off in a way sometimes and just start doing things. Again, it goes back to like action trumps thinking or knowledge, and it also applies to your emotions and your thoughts. Sometimes just moving your feet and doing the things you need to do that day can, they just override like how you're feeling and what you're thinking. And sometimes that's just the gear you have to shift into when you need to make it through a rough day. And that's just part of life. And so I think, yeah, sometimes you don't have to always trust your emotions or thoughts, and they don't always serve you. And I think it might even be a little self-centered to think that your emotions and your thoughts are always going to be accurate and perfect. So yeah, I don't, that was kind of a hard one to wrap my head around. Like as a lesson I've learned in life, just because it's not very apparent, because really as yourself and, you know, the concept of who I am, it's really my thoughts and my emotions. That's what builds me up a lot, you know? So it's hard to go, oh, I can't always trust these things. So, but yeah, that is all I've got for that one. Do you have anything?
I was just going to say your emotions can definitely like be deceiving sometimes.
Yeah, like they can betray you, and really because like your emotions and your thoughts are both influenced by things you read or people that talk to you or, you know, things you see on the news or whatever. And they're not always yours in a weird way, even though they're in your head or, you know, you feel them in your body. It's not always coming from you, you know, and that's a hard pill to swallow, I think, because we want to learn, we want to be able to trust ourselves, you know, but I don't know, you're like a computer, and you get programmed sometimes with faulty lines of code, and you have to learn that that's okay to cut them out or ignore them. All right, number 15, pray every morning and read as much of the Bible as you can. This is a pretty new one for me. And I'm really not that great at it. I go through spurts where I will consistently do it every morning, and I try to do it as the first thing. And then sometimes I go for a while where I barely pray or read the Bible at all. And it's, you know, it's harder to get back into it. But every time that I'm consistently doing this one, I feel more at peace and I feel more directed from the very start of the day. And I don't know, it's a good way to kind of center yourself for the day in what I believe, which is God and, you know, the Christian faith. And it's a good way to center myself in the teachings of God. And I just think this is a really good one. It's pretty simple to practice, and you don't need much. You can even just get the Bible app on your phone. You don't have to go buy a Bible. And I just think it's a good one to practice. Number 16, focus on giving to others instead of figuring out what you can take from others. I think a lot of people actually spend a lot of mental energy and time kind of figuring out how to manipulate others. And it's not even necessarily on purpose. It's just kind of like a way that we can be wired where we're taking advantage of the things on the playing field in front of us. And I think if you're more focused on giving to those around you, whether you know them or not, is a lot more rewarding than figuring out how can I, you know, get more for myself just by talking to this person a certain way, or, you know, setting a social situation, like social engineering an entire group of people. Like there's a lot of ways people manipulate, and we can get caught in trying to just take from others constantly. And I think if you just simplify it and go, okay, how can I just give to these people you know, even if it's just with your words, it doesn't have to be money or, you know, items. It can literally just be the way you talk to someone or, you know, take interest in someone else's day or life or what's going on with them. I think that is a lot more productive than, you know, taking from others and just being selfish about things. Okay, so we are on number 17 now. Don't let your anger lead you into a fight, whether it's verbal or physical. So it's very easy to, once anger kind of takes over you, to, you know, either get in a verbal argument or even just a physical altercation where you're fist fighting it out, you know. And I think anger is a tough one because it feels good sometimes, because you feel justified and you want, you know, some kind of, I guess, retribution, or you want justice for the situation. And if you're the, you know, you're angry enough, even if you're wrong, you can feel like you're right, you know. And that's kind of tough. And so I think you need to, if you're angry, like, take a step back, settle down, and reevaluate how to approach the situation, whether that's you need to talk it out or you just need to, you know, accept that you were wrong and learn from your mistake or whatever it might be. 18, take your health seriously. Eventually it will catch up, and at a certain point the damage is probably irreversible. So I have always struggled with health stuff in my life. Like, I haven't had to go to the doctor a lot besides my cancer stuff, obviously, but I have just always been a bigger person, and I have struggled with food, probably like food addiction type things. And I, you know, self-soothe with eating foods and all that good stuff. And I'm really conscious of it now. And I've gone through moments where I'm more conscious than others. And I did lose a lot of weight at one point, but I did kind of let it go again because I thought, oh, I got this under control, which most people who lose a lot of weight do the same thing. But now I'm back at a point where I'm concerning myself with how I'm eating, when I'm eating, and I just want to feel better. And I don't want to, you know, wake up one morning and be like, I don't know, almost at the point of like where you can't make that change anymore, or you just feel really stuck and you can't do anything about it. I really don't like that feeling. I'm sure most of you don't either. And yeah, this one's just a tough one for me, but I think just take your health seriously, and but don't get extreme about it. But, you know, really just be conscious about what you're putting in your body, how you're treating yourself. Are you getting enough sleep? Are you just doing the right things for yourself to keep yourself healthy in your life?
And I do think things can always be changed. I don't feel like there's ever a point of no return.
Yeah, I mean, the human body is amazing. I think more when the damage is irreversible, I'm speaking more from a mental perspective. I think sometimes we can get our brains worked into such a mindset that sometimes there is no return from certain mental, like, caves or corners you find yourself in. So yeah, just, that's something to think about. You know, sometimes issues are not just the physical thing that you're dealing with. It's how you're approaching that with your mindset. And yeah, you can put yourself in a corner that you can't necessarily come back from. So just be careful. Number 19. Money isn't everything. If money is your god, you will miss out on everything life has to offer. Yeah, I think I definitely for a while made money, you know, I put it in place of God for me, and that's all that I chased. And I thought if I had enough of it that I would, you know, be safe, or I'd have security and I would be able to buy, you know, anything I wanted to, or buy at least happiness or whatever. And I thought that that was just the way to be successful in life and to make everything fine and to fix all my issues. and I was wrong. And so I'm not saying money is, you know, itself evil, but it's not the main objective, and it's not going to fix everything. It's just a tool, and I think if you lose sight of, or you're unable to place it as just a tool, it can kind of run away from you.
Yeah, I think when it comes to money, you have to be really careful with your mindset surrounding it and the importance you place on it.
Yeah, it's not going to just take care of everything. And, I mean, it also goes back to what I said in one of my other lessons was money can, its value can just disappear overnight, and then you're left with nothing, you know? And if you make it your God and it just disappears one night, then what do you have? You have nothing, you know? And your life will be completely turned upside down. So, yeah, there's way better things to make your God. I'll leave it at that. Number 20, when it comes to politics or economics, do your own research and, you know, learn things on your own from what you see with your own eyes and, you know, understand in your heart and mind. And don't follow the emotions of the media or the people around you or even just one talking head or source. Like, emotions are going to come and go and change and fluctuate no matter, you know, what's going on. And I think if you just look at the things that are facts and that you can hold on to a little bit, I think that's the best way to go about understanding the world of politics or economics. Number 21, your emotions, as annoying and painful as they can be, are usually signaling that you don't or aren't doing something you know you should be doing. And I do have a hot take on this one, but too much talking about emotions and labeling disorders is actually harmful and can lead to justified inaction. And this goes back to one of my other lessons, which is action is more, it's going to trump just thinking about things. I think you can, again, fix yourself into a mental corner where you just go, the odds are against me. I'm fixed in this certain position in my life and way of thinking, and I'm not going to be able to, you know, make changes. And so people just, you know, smack a label on something that they're going through and they go, I can't fix it, so this is just me now, and that's okay. And again, justified inaction, I think, is dangerous. So, yep, that's my hot take on emotions and mental health. So, you're welcome. Number 22, we're getting to the end here. We're almost done. Hang in there with me. Number 22, limitless opportunities might actually be harmful for us. We need some restrictions to create an environment for useful creativity. Yeah, I know it's, I don't know, I feel like when we moved here to the city, the big city, opportunities just kind of opened up and they became, it felt almost, or feels almost limitless, where I don't quite know which direction to go. And so I'm almost trying to like narrow things down and like dumb down my opportunities so I can figure out like what I really, like what I need to do. You know, it feels like there's too much to do so that I feel like I can't do any one thing.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. It becomes paralyzing at a certain point.
Yeah, it's just like an overstimulating feeling where you're just like, well, God, it feels like everyone's doing everything and I don't know what I should be doing, but it feels like I should be doing everything. And yeah, you don't know what to do. It does feel like you're paralyzed and you're frozen, just staring at all these things going like, okay, I can do any one thing, but I don't know which way to go.
Yeah, I think it all just starts with a single step.
Yeah, so, yeah, don't always think if you put yourself in a situation where you have, you know, a lot of opportunities is always the best thing. I mean, if you have absolutely no opportunities and you go to more opportunities, that's good. But if you have a good amount of opportunities and you go to limitless, that's kind of a tough situation to be in because you don't really know what's even going on. Number 23. Don't ever assume you have enough information or experience to coast through something. There will be an even bigger problem or lesson you will run into if you simply begin to just coast through a situation or through life or whatever. I am terrible at this one. I constantly get to a point where I think I know enough, or like I learn the next lesson, and then I go, okay, that's the lesson I needed, and I just start coasting, whether it's through a small situation or a big one. And I get to where I'm like, you know what? I'm good. And I start going about life thinking I'm good again. And then I get hit in the face even harder by the next problem or thing that I was doing wrong in my life. And it's extremely clear again that I was not, I didn't have all the answers. And I wasn't, like, I was coasting again. And I just took for granted that, you know, I have to change constantly and I have to figure things out, and that's how you grow. And it's not just a point in life you reach where you know everything and you're just good. Like, I think a lot of people do that, and I think you tend to look very ignorant and wrong whenever people are just done and they go, oh, you know, I know how things work and I'm not going to do anything else. I'm just going to stay right here. It just seems like a miserable place to be, in my opinion, but I do struggle with this one a lot.
Yeah, we talked about, I don't know if it was our book club or last week's episode or something, but that, like, once you reach the point where you've stopped learning and growing, then it's time to move on to something else, because you should always be, like, learning and growing in one way or another in your life.
Yeah, there's always something else, and this one also builds on top of the when things get too comfortable, you don't have, you know, a ton of motivation, and I think coasting is getting too comfortable, and it's just not a place you want to be because it's boring, or it'll eventually get boring, and it's not going to fulfill your life, because we're always going to be doing stuff and on the move, and you can, you know, inaction is a choice. And if you choose to be inactive and not go anywhere, you're probably going to face more consequences or bad things than if you keep moving forward and taking chances. So yeah, don't assume that you know enough to just sit still. Number 24. Don't define your identity by the current culture. It is always changing and you will never have a solid base for who you are. I have another hot take on this one. There is no basis for morality without unchanging truths. You got to have something to hold on to. Otherwise, morality is just whatever makes you feel best in that moment. And yeah, when you look back in history, people do things that we now think are bad, and I think that's because a lot of morality is based on whatever's culturally appropriate or fine in that moment, and that's going to change. And so I think you have to have a solid base for what you believe is moral, and that involves unchanging truths about things. And again, I'll leave it there, but you know, I believe certain things, but you can figure that out for yourself. Number 25, making mistakes and experiencing tough things in life is part of being a more complete person. We can't entirely understand one side without the other. Yeah, I've personally been through a lot of crazy things in my life that were, you know, not great, and I'm sure most people don't want to experience in their life ever. But I believe that those things have made me who I am and given me a more complete understanding of the good and the bad side of things. And I really think that you can't necessarily uphold the good things in life without understanding and feeling or experiencing the bad stuff, because it's like, what is it, yin and yang? Like, you can't have one side without the other. There's two sides to each coin, and if you never experience the other side, then you're not going to understand why one side is good versus the other, and you're not gonna be able to portray that to other people or, you know, talk to people about things or experience it yourself. Finally, number 26, fill your life with meaningful experiences and people who you want the best for and that they want the best for you. I don't know, I'm on this like journey of what I want to do in life and what my passion might be. And it's kind of all consolidating down to very simple terms. And I think that is do as much as you can in life, experience as much as you can, and really pay attention to the people around you. And it goes along too with giving to others rather than taking from others. If you want the best for the people around you and you are working at that constantly with them and they're helping you, you know, become better, it's going to create an environment where you can thrive and you can feel, you know, like you are going somewhere and you actually have people to give the things to that you're becoming better at, whether it's emotionally or you're better at, you know, physical actions or whatever. And I just think experiencing as much as you can that life has to offer. I mean, what other point is there really? I mean, we're here for a short amount of time and there's a lot that we can do in this life. And if you're not out there taking advantage of that and experiencing things, especially in these modern times where we have the ability to do these things pretty easily, I think you're wasting your time. And I don't know. I think you got to reprioritize what you're chasing in life and what it's all about. You have anything?
No, I think those were great. They put my lessons to shame a little bit, I think.
I don't think so.
You did good.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I didn't feel like I put a ton of time into my lessons, but I did think about them kind of hard. But we're just going through a point in life right now where I'm constantly thinking about these things, and so it was a little easier this time than last time to make my list. But yeah, I think chase the deeper things in life that give you meaning and don't take everything at face value, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah, I agree.
That's basically it. That's my episode, my 26 lessons.
Woo!
And thank you to everyone who is listening or will listen. And have a great day, everybody.
Yeah, let's all go wish him a very happy birthday on Instagram at On The Air With Brett and Claire. You can comment on a YouTube video, not this one, because there isn't one, but you can comment on our other YouTube videos at On The Air With Brett and Claire. Leave us a rating. Don't ding us because we are not on YouTube very often these days, because we do apologize for that, and we hope to get that fixed soon. Next week we're gonna switch things up because between the books and the podcast episodes, it's been a lot of self-help lesson type stuff. So we'll switch it up for next Thursday's episode to something different. And
yeah, we'll go back to a fun thing possibly or something just different.
Yeah, we're just gonna try something new for next week. But yeah, let us know if y'all have any suggestions or things you want us to talk about. Again, the book for this month is Man's Search for Meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah, by Viktor Frankl. And that will be on August 12th. So read along with us for the book club. And I think that's about all we got this week.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Happy birthday again. And we will see y'all next Thursday.
Bye, guys.
Bye.